Now, my message today is a message on the Love for You tab of the Four Love Tenets of the Church. And I want you to know, you should love you. There is so much beauty in the world, like I said, and that beauty resides in you too. When I say there is beauty in the world, what I'm saying is there is God in the world. And there is God within you. And you should love you because there is God within you. In Hebrews 10, 35, 36, it says, "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." This points to the fact that someone who's lacking confidence is not as effective. Someone who's lacking confidence, and we know this in the sports world, we know this in the church world, we know this all over the place. When people lack confidence, they become less effective. Do not let your endurance for your calling die because you've lost love for yourself. Keep your confidence. I want to open this up in prayer today. Father God in heaven, I want to come to you thanking you for the opportunity to bring your mighty word to people. I hope that you bless the people within this building and those who hear it online, God. I hope that they find a self-love within and they lose the attack from the devil that has taught them that they shouldn't love who they are. And instead, they find the peace that is your voice telling them, you should love you because I do. Amen. Amen. So I brought a message today that is basically the 10 points that I want to get in your head for why you should love yourself and what you should be thinking during that time. And number one, here's something you should know about yourself. You don't decide your value. Oftentimes, we have thought to ourselves, I'm not worth this. I'm not worth that. Oh, you brother, you can't give that to me. I'm not worth that. Don't offer me that job. I'm not qualified for it. Oh, God, don't bless me. I have done so much wrong things in my life. We always tell people our own value. And the reality is, you do not determine your value. God has determined that for you. And let me tell you, Christ has already paid the price for you. Prizes don't argue their worth. They simply accept it. Let me tell you your worth. God spent time making you. Then he sent his son to die for your sins. What more does he have to do to show you that you matter to him? And if you matter to the mighty God, you should matter to yourself. His opinion is above yours. Let me tell you, he knows how to pick them. You don't. I can assure you of that. Many of the bad decisions in my life have been at my own expense, my fault caused by me. Every time God has picked in my stead, it has been better for me. So let me tell you, he is a more qualified person to decide your value. And his value for you is this: Jesus laid his life down for you. There is no more ultimate a price than to say, I would die for that one right there. So when you are thinking about your value, no, Christ already paid that price. You can't argue it. And it was the ultimate price, the highest bid for anything that has ever been laid out. There has not been an auctioneer that has gone through the blah, 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 blah. There has not been one that has gotten to the price that Christ paid for you. You are valuable. So number one, you do not decide your value. Let's look at this scripture here in Ephesians 2:10. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. He calls you a masterpiece and he's already planned good things for you. That means you were birthed with value and your life still has value. So if you think that he made you and that's good and that gave you value, but what you've done is denied that value, you are wrong because he still has good things planned for you. And that means you have value to this very day. Number two, You can't fully love God if you don't love you. Ooh, I'm getting deep in people's spirits today. There are some people who have a bit of self-hate within them, and they don't want to hear that because they think they love God perfectly. But let me tell you, if you don't love you, you are affronting the love of God. I said God's beauty is within you. If you don't love that, you don't love you, you don't love that beauty of God within you. God is the artist that created you. You cannot love that artist and then hate his art. You cannot say Elvis Presley is your favorite musician and then turn to someone else and say, but boy, I hate the way he sings. You cannot say that your favorite sports team is your favorite team and then go, boy, but I hate watching them play. It doesn't make sense. God is an artist and we love him and we cherish him. And many of us and all of us should think he is the greatest artist of all. If he's the greatest artist of all and you are art, then you should love that art.
Yes, that's good. Amen.
If you don't love yourself, you cannot complete the call to love your neighbor as yourself. Ooh, there are some neighbors that are getting hate from people because those people hate themselves. You are failing that call to love your neighbor simply by starting off without loving yourself. There's a lot of relationship advice that begins with this. You can't really love somebody until you love you. And it's become a kind of a tired trope in the world. But it's a real thing. People who love themselves give better love. And I'm not saying if you have a self-hate part of you that you're not a good person and that you can't love well. What I'm saying is the people who you love would receive better love if you loved yourself a little better. You can't use breath to praise God, the Creator. We just had a great worship service, and many of us were using our breath, our words, to praise the Creator. We should not say, God, you are mighty. We should not sing, how great is our God, and then get back down out of the spirit and say, but man, you did a bad job making me. I messed up. I keep making mistakes. You have all these critiques for yourself or your circumstance, and it's incorrect. You can't use the same breath to critique the work and then praise God. Now, let's get to part three. And this is a part that I think many people struggle with. And I can tell you this with full-fledged authority. Mental health struggles do not disqualify you from salvation, and they do not disqualify you from grace. Do not let the devil lie to you. Do not let him tell you that because you have anxiety that you're doubting God. Do not let him tell you that because you have temperamental issues that you are not in line with God. There is real medical issues that are out there and mental health issues that are out there, and they do not disqualify you from being a good Christian, and God still chose you, loves you, and has saved you. You just have to accept it. Struggling is okay. Self-hatred is not. In this life, we will have hardship. And much of that hardship, if you're like me, comes from within first. That is the way of this world. That is the cost of us being here, being in a sin-torn world. Don't let it creep into your heart. Don't let it live within you. Don't let the devil use your poor mental health against you. John 16:33 says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Take heart. I have overcome the world. Oh, that's so good to me. I use that scripture when I'm struggling. I've used that scripture during anxiety attacks and panic attacks. I've said that to myself to get myself out of moments and out of depressions. God knew. That scripture is an outright truth that God knew sometimes it might be hard down here. But there's that quiet voice that tells you, that's okay. I'm still bigger than the world. God is still bigger than the mental health issues that you're having. You can be a good Christian and have anxiety. There are billions of Christians. Do you think they all have great mental health? No, they don't. I've been to church with quite a few of them who don't. I'm one of them. The truth is, the depths of my dark times have shown me how truly bright Christ is. When I have failed and I have been at my worst and I have felt broken, there have been times where my eyes have hurt because I'm running out of tears to cry. You know, the song says, the tracks of my tears. And I have often thought, if people could see the tracks of my tears in those times, my whole face would just be tracks. I have cried my eyes out. But it is in those times when I have felt so lost, so broken, and I've looked into the abyss that I feel was my life, and I see that shining light of glory up on a hill, shining beautiful, perfect love right in my eye. That is when I have realized how good He is. It took my failures of mental health for me to realize, oh, how good God is. I had said it, I had spoke it, I had been there, I have praised God, I have believed, but nothing has shown me how bright He is than my own darkness. Let's go to part four. This is similar to part one, but it's not the exact same. The definition of your life is not up to you. There are so many people out in the world who are going to tell you what you should be. Your circumstance should dictate this. You're born on this side of town, you need to act this way. You're born on this side of town, you should have these few things and you should have these many things. You're a person of this background, you're a person of this race or this ethnicity, you're from this culture. There are so many things in this world that people will use to tell you who you should be and what you are capable of. But let me tell you something, the world is headed to hell, so to hell with what they think of you. They don't matter. God has decided what your worth is. He has decided what your definition is. In Jeremiah 29:11, we all know it. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. So when the world is trying to tell you who you should be, don't listen to them. They don't know you well enough. They don't know you well enough to tell you what you should be and who you should be. They don't know you well enough to tell you what you're capable of. God is the one who has decided for you what your worth is and what your definition is. There is a calling on every single person's heart, and God has put it there. All you do is accept it. You don't choose it. No one can argue it. No one can tell you what your worth is. If He tells you to go out to the Congo and save people, people might say, well, you don't have money for a ticket. You're broke. Guess what? God's got you. He's sending you there. And for all of my video gamers out there, this is the way I think of it. God gave the quest to you, which means He gets to decide how well you're doing. Yeah. In games, they'll say, hey, I need you to get about 15 of these apples or 15 gold bars and bring them back to me. And if you bring back 13, they'll say, that's not good enough. I asked for 15. And sometimes you have a lot and you bring too many and they say, hey, I don't need all of those. That is God. He is the one telling you what you're supposed to do and what you're good at. Because you know why? He made you.
That's right. Come
on. And He made you with love and for purpose. Right. Go to part five with me here. This is one that I think is rampant in the church. Stop applying pressure that grace was supposed to take away from you. There are so many people who go out into the world and make a mistake. And I just told you earlier that I had a problem. I shed tears with my mistake. And they beat themselves down and they batter themselves and they say to themselves, oh, I'm not perfect. I messed up again. And they say, oh, man, I messed up. I did it again. And you get that spirit that you say, I keep messing up. I keep failing. And then you start to think of yourself as a spiritual failure. Then you don't accept calls on your life because you're a failure and you think you'll fail the call. Then you stop listening to God because He's telling you that you're better than you think you are. And before you know it, you've wiped out your spiritual health just by applying pressure that you don't need to. None of us here rode in on a camel. You know why that is? Because we exist post-Old Testament. There's a New Testament. That New Testament is grace. It's for a purpose. It's because the Old Testament was there to show us that you can't do it. You can't fulfill the law. You're not capable. But the New Testament came down and it died on the cross and he accepted that for us. Your job is not to be perfect. All you need to do is draw closer to Christ. We know the perfect one. It ain't anybody here. That's all right. That's how it's laid out. That's a part of the covenant. The covenant is this. Y'all can't do it, so I will. Woo, I'm so glad he gave me that covenant. Because I could tell you, the Old Testament covenant would have locked me to hell. It would have sent me to a place where I wouldn't be with God. But this New Testament shows me that I don't have to put pressure on myself for being perfect. I got to put pressure on myself for being around the perfect one. Christ said, "It is finished." Those were the last words translated. It is finished. You make a fool of yourself when you say, "Yeah, it is finished, but I still got to work on this, God." He said it's finished. He fulfilled the covenant. You're not qualified to do anything else. Let me tell you, if there were still things to be fulfilled with the covenant before it was completed, you're not the one who's supposed to do it. Jesus would have been the one to do it. You're not qualified for that. That qualification was perfection. We can't do it. Christ has already finished it. It is finished. Your requirement is just to accept it. And instead of failing to live the perfect life, one you really had no chance of living, live the life that God has given you and rejoice in that. Just get into the Spirit. So many of us are around the throne. We bust down the walls and we're right into the throne room with God and we're looking around and we're so amazed. And then we start to think to ourselves, well, I got a little bit of work to do on me. You know, I still got my anger issues and not wearing the right clothes, and I keep saying cuss words in the car when people cut me off, and every time I look at a certain type of person, I just feel this hatred, and I don't know why, and sometimes some of my old vices, like alcohol, still come back on me, and all the while, you're in the throne room with the perfect one talking about you. Ooh, just accept how good God is. Just accept how good he is, and no, it's not about you. It's about God. You can fail. You can falter. You just got to get back on the path when you do. God knows you can't be perfect. He ain't expecting that of you. He wants effort. And he wants you to always, when you fall and when you falter, he wants you to get back up and find him. Find him. Don't try to be perfect. Just make sure you're around God. He'll do the perfect part for you. Number six. A good one, one I love. You've got power. You've got purpose. Woo! God did not make you weak, and he didn't make you for nothing. God is unbeatable, and he resides within you. You can't think God, the unbeatable one, is within me and think I can fail. Oh, see, when God told me that I have a calling on my life, I knew I wasn't going to fail it. You know why? Because God is in me fulfilling that calling. Joe alone may fail the calling, but God within me ain't going to let me fail. Oh, I ain't failing anytime soon. You know why? Because God, the unbeatable one, is within me. If you know his strength is within you, then why pretend like you're weak? You know, I try to be compassionate. And sometimes, even with my wife, the person I'm the most compassionate with, the one who comes the most natural, sometimes I lose a bit of compassion. And it's a hard thing that I'm working on. But what I want you to know is I say what I'm about to say with compassion. I'm tired of seeing Christians walking around downtrodden and weak. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of seeing Christians struggling along, just saying, well, I'll get better someday. And, you know, I can do it someday. And maybe one day No, get on your feet and realize you have power. Stop letting the world weigh you down. Stop getting beaten by the world. When the devil is attacking you, no, you got a 1-2 punch combo that can take him out. That is prayer and faith. Take him out. Stop letting the attacks of the world land on you. The only reason they hurt is because you're accepting them. Realize you got power within you. You are powerful. You were made with purpose. You were made by the perfect one. You cannot be broken by this world because the unbreakable one is right within you. And when that flesh gets broken, your spirit still is powerful. We are called to fight in the kingdom. We are called for a purpose. There are people who need saving. There are souls that need to hear the word of God. There are seats on the throne, in the throne room, that are empty because we're supposed to put people in them. Don't let that call fail because you lost your power. Except God put you here with a mighty mission. And he put you with a mighty mission because you're a mighty missionary. God has set you up to be successful, and he put a mighty call on you. Pick up your weapons and fight. Don't argue with the world. Succeed in spite of them. Number 7, God is perfect. You're not his first mistake. I mean, I could walk out the door right now. It'd be over. I'd say amen, and we can go. Worship him with me right now. Let's worship God. Let's get in the spirit to worship. Now let's see how silly we feel when we come back down and say, God, you're really great, but I do think you made a mistake giving me anxiety. I do think you made a mistake not making me rich. God, I do think you made a mistake because I need a new car. God, you know, there's a lot of mistakes you've made. You see how silly we look when we do that? Do you see how foolish we sound? You make mistakes. That's okay. He's there for you. He doesn't make mistakes. And if we know he doesn't make mistakes and he made you, what's that mean? You're not a mistake. You can't be. There's no such thing as mistakes. I don't like when parents, some of them do it jokingly, say, oh, this one was a mistake. There is no mistakes. Life was birthed into you with a purpose and for a point. God decides when you live. God decides whether or not you should be here. And guess what? You're here, which means you are here on purpose from the perfect one. When you fail, he succeeds through you. That's the point. So yeah, you might make mistakes. That's just an opportunity for God to shine. Like I said earlier, the dark times are when I found out he's the brightest. When I fail, that's when I found out how good God is. When I've tried to do things in my own power and realized I'm not as smart as I thought I was. Not as tough as I thought I was. Not as resilient as I thought I was. And then here comes God, perfect as can be, and shows me, Joe, I'm good. Joe, I'm powerful. Joe, I'm resilient. Joe, I'm smart. He fills every hole within you. The mistakes that leave holes in your life, he's filling them for you right now. Just accept it. Accept that you're going to have ups and downs. Life has ups and downs. Some people call it a roller coaster. You know, millions of people every year pay good money to ride those. So let's get into it and have fun. Get on the roller coaster of life. It's the only free one you'll ever pay for. Just get in and have a good time. Realize sometimes you're going to be way up top and you're going to feel tip-top shape. And other times hard times will come. Well, guess what? There's always a track rising to bring you to new good times. You can have a good life and you should. Because God put you here. That's not a mistake. Number 8. Give love all the power in your life. 1 Corinthians 16:14. Let all that you do be done in love. Amen. Everything. Order coffee in love. Complain to the customer service agents that messed up your package in love. Romans 8:37 through 39. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Give that power. Stop accepting the devil's attacks and giving him power. Give love power. If it don't sound like love, don't accept it. If it don't sound like you love you, don't listen to it. There's always a bit of awful conscience within you that's telling you shouldn't love yourself. Don't listen to that. Listen to that voice in the back of your heart. That's the spirit that's telling you, no, you deserve love. And you should be the first one to love you here. God loved you first. You should be the first person right now to love you. Go outside. When you wake up, the first person that should say, I love me, is me. I used to wait early on in my relationship to wake up for my wife to tell me she loved me. It'd be the first I love you I got. I now wake up every day and I tell myself I love me before my wife gets a chance. So I always start my day with love. So I'm not putting the burden of love on somebody else. So I'm fulfilling that call to love me. Love changes everything. I'm not telling you that love is going to pay your bills. But what I am telling you is love will get you happy to be where you are. Love will have you accept things that you wouldn't accept without love. Love will have people come back into your life. Love will make the doctor's reports easier. Love will keep you in line with God. Love will keep you on the path. Love will keep you in the throne room. Love is perfect because God is love. If it don't sound like love, it isn't God. And if it does sound like love, it's God. That's why you give love all the power, because love is God. So when something sounds like love, just accept it, because that's an acceptance of God. And when you don't accept love and you don't act in love, you're pulling proximity from God and you're getting away from Him. Don't do that. Choose love every day. Every chance you get, choose love. Every option you have has love within it. Choose it. There's a fork in the road. One of them is love. Choose that love fork. Start your day with a love for God. Here is going to be a list of things that you can do if you struggle with starting your day with love. Here's what you need to do. Start your day with a love for God. Immediately wake up and thank Him. Immediately wake up in prayer and say, I love you to God. Then go to the mirror and find some love for yourself. Then go out into the world and love those people. Then come to church and let us love you. It is set up that way for a reason. Because when you start loving God, then you love you, then you love the people around you, then you love a church community, you have put every aspect in your life right into love. And that means you're right connected with God everywhere. Got only two more left. Part 9, I mentioned it earlier. Not loving yourself is an affront to God. When you don't love yourself, you tell God He hasn't done good enough making you. It's quiet here. It's quiet at home because there's some people got to swallow that. It's all right. I had to learn that lesson. I've had a battle with self-hatred in my life, with guilt in my life. And finally, God just shouted me down one day. And He said, okay, tell me what I did wrong, Joe. You tell me what I did wrong. Joe, you right there. Must be great. The most powerful Joe there is. You tell me what I did wrong. I ain't ever been shut up better in my life. If you don't love you, you tell Christ He wasted His blood dying for you. Woo! His blood was shed for you. And if you don't love you, that's an affront to that death. You tell the Holy Spirit that it shouldn't even try to save your soul. When you don't love you, you hush the voice of the Spirit in you. There's a reason people who have self-hate fall into more issues than people who have self-love. The truth is, because when you have self-hate, you're constantly pushing that spirit that is perfected within you, you're constantly pushing it out of the way. You're constantly not accepting it, and you're constantly telling it no. And when you operate out of the flesh, you will fail. But when you operate out of the spirit, you will succeed. So if you want to get to succeed and get to loving you, because then you're operating in your perfect spirit. Lastly, part 10. God is in control. Now get out of His way. You know, I often, my boys ain't old enough yet to help me. with big packages. And we often have them because I got an army of a house. And I'll swoop up, and yesterday we had a package for a new bed. And I picked it up and I carried it in myself. And my son's intent, Logan's intent, was to help me. Just like sometimes our intent is to help God and to be around him. And I was walking, and I got a bad shoulder, and I got my arms are starting to hurt and losing feeling, and my fingers often. Got a bad back. Still strong, though. But I ain't strong enough to knock over a kid and then fall over with a bed on top of me and not be hurt. So when I'm walking, and my son's like, "Oh, Daddy, can I help?" I'm holding it like this, and I just and kick him out of the way, because the best way he can help me is get out of my way. Yeah. Yeah. I'm holding packages you're too weak for. Yeah. God is holding things you can't carry. And you're standing at the door saying, "God, what do I do?" Just like a little kid. Just let God swoop you out of the way. Yeah. Yeah. Just get out of his way. He is in control. Amen. Every dad here knows when you're carrying something heavy, give me all the space I need to operate. Don't get in my way. 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us. Our sufficiency is from God. Yes. Just draw near to him. That's your only job. That's it. Don't try to say, "Well, I could teach myself how to be a better person, and I can work on this and work on that." Those are small things you could do. And maybe I honestly think we should all constantly be doing things to help us be better people. But if you're doing those things and getting in God's way, it's for nothing. Yeah. The best way to become a better person is to accept God, accept his love, and let that change you. Yes. You will never change you like God can change you. You will never love you like God can love you. You will never perfect you like God will perfect you. His will be done, not yours. That will includes for you to love yourself and rejoice in the good work he did making you. Say to yourself every morning, every night, whenever you feel comfortable, pass by a mirror and say, "That's God's masterpiece." Pass by. Sometimes, and I do it with my wife. Sometimes my wife walks back in the room and I'm like, "Ooh, God did a good job making her." I got to start doing that for me. You got to start doing that for you. Pass by the mirror and go, "You know what, God, you did a good job. Look at me, God, look at me. I got my matching shoes. I got the same team shoes and my team shirt. I look good today. God, you did a good job." And despite my circumstances in my past and the mental health struggles I've not let that be an excuse to not love people. And I have found that I can love people even though it doesn't come naturally to me. Guess what? God, you did a good job. Get real with yourself. Love the things that he's done in you, he's done for you. But first, love you. Because the first thing he ever did for you was make you. Accept that. Accept that that means you're beautiful, that you're perfect. He made you. That perfect spirit that's within you, that means there's a little bit of perfection in you. That means that God's got you. That means that the flesh may fail and the mind may fail, but that spirit's right there and the spirit don't fail you. In his divine power, he made you, breathed life into you, and has been protecting you every day since. He has heaven waiting for you. He loves you so, so dearly. Love yourself, because he thinks you're worth it. Father God, I want to close today thanking you for taking time to make me, for doing a good job. Lord, I know there are some times where my flesh may fail me, but that perfect spirit that you've put in me, it always gets me out. And I'm done letting the devil tell me that I should hate myself. I'm done listening to the voice that says I'm not worth it. And I'm listening to you, God. The devil's never done anything for me. He's only done things to me. So I'm done letting his words have power on me. And instead, I'm going to give your words power, God, because you've done everything for me. You made me, you protect me, you guide me, you go before me, you make paths for me. You sent your son to die so I don't gotta be perfect so I could reside with you someday. God, you've done so much for me. I'm gonna let you have the power and you define me. I'm gonna let you tell me that I have worth. I'm gonna let you tell me that I'm beautiful. And then when the world disagrees, I know they're wrong because they're just people and you're the creator of people. Everything you've done is good, God. That includes me. Lord, I ask that you heal the people from self-hate. I ask that you soften the words that they speak about themselves. I ask that you cleanse them of that self-hatred the devil has put on them. I ask, God, that you take what the world says they should be and you wipe it away and show them what they really could be. In your precious and holy name, I pray. Amen. I love you all. You should love you all. Amen.